Over this past fall, we've been talking about what is the good news for our world around us. What's the good news for your neighbor, for your brother-in-law, for your co-worker, for your schoolmate? How do we see the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, a reality today? And you might remember from the book of Job that Jesus is our advocate. When nobody else understands, one on high is advocating for you. Jacob taught us that Jesus is our access to the Father. The gate to heaven is open. The stairway giving you access to the Father is there. David showed us that Jesus is the one and only champion who has run the course, run the race. And if we live in Christ, we too can run that race. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's the one who shields us from wrath, from the death angel, and the one who delivers us from slavery and bondage and takes us into the promised land. Jesus is our first sheaf. He's the wave offering before the Lord that says, all those guys back at West Coast, they're just like me. Here's the first fruits of the harvest. More is coming. He's the first sheaf, guaranteeing that you and I, like him, will be accepted by the Father. Zechariah, that Jesus is our righteous king, saved by God, humble, coming on a donkey. Malachi, that Jesus is the one who purifies our hearts and makes us holy, makes us acceptable. We have so much good news to pass on to our friends. The kingdom of heaven is advancing forcefully, and forceful men lay hold of it. The fields are white unto harvest. The Lord's been telling us that the fields are white unto harvest. How does that verse finish? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers out into the field. The fields are white unto harvest. How should we respond? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send out workers. O Lord, send me. That he would send us into the harvest. Every Sunday on our bulletin, we have this vision statement. How do I do this, Kathy? God has called us to be a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led family. It's wonderful to be part of a family. We want to be a family that is Christ-centered. Everything hinges upon the sacrifice of Christ. There aren't many ways to God. There aren't all religions worshiping the same one in their own different way. There's one. His name is Jesus. He is our access to the Father. Be a Christ-centered people, a word-based people, a people that actually believe that this word is relevant today and that we live our lives under the authority of this word, that it rules over us. We don't stand and critique it and judge it and look at it and decide which parts of it are relevant for today. All of his word is God-breathed, and it's our rule or our standard to live by. And to be a people that's spirit-led, a family that isn't stuck in a certain tradition, isn't stuck in how we want things to be, but we say, Lord, move among us by your Spirit. Because the Spirit is one who Jesus said, when he comes upon you, would give you power to be his disciples and to be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. A Spirit-led family that wins the lost. And those people that God brings in become disciples. Grow, multiply, more added to their number, and become a people that transforms society, that changes the world around us. There's some very practical ways that as a family, you can plug in, even though there's no membership yet. I love this first one. How can I be involved? Volunteer with the deacons. Don, you want to stand up? Don looks after facilitating meetings and gatherings that we have together. Dudu, you want to stand up? Dudu looks after when we have special events. Coming up is Easter. A couple years ago, we had this fabulous Easter service with this incredible choir. That takes people who say yes and show up to practice. All right? Amen, sister. Grace Severson, where are you? Grace Severson works with Eunice, who gets paid to do our books, and Grace is an accountant who looks after making sure it gets done right and looks after our finances. The best way you can help her is just give lots of money. Don't worry, it doesn't go to her under the table. And pray for her. Pray for her. Jim Thompson, is he here? I saw him last night. He was on call today, so he might have got called out. Jim Thompson, who looks after the properties, both here and at the school. That is a huge job. And there's one thing that this team of deacons, like every team of deacons, fails in miserably. They really fall short in one area. Asking for help. You got to read their mind. Because people who serve and people who give themselves, they're genuine. They love. And they love us. And they want to make things happen. And so they give themselves again and again and again. But it's so hard when you know how much energy it takes to go and ask somebody to come alongside and help you. There's a lot of practical things that need to be done. Yesterday we were at this gathering for Pastor Bob's memorial. And somebody who had been a member here in the 60s said, "Sir, are those buildings falling down yet?" I said, yes, that's an issue. Talk to somebody and ask them, how can I help you? And then just say yes. All right. I won't spend so much time on these others. Join begin a network group. Charlie Whitley is looking after these. If you have an idea about how God can use a group of people among us to reach out to the world, here's some starters. Alpha, Tuesday morning moms and tots group that meets here. Susan Visser's exercise group that will be beginning someday. I heard about it. I didn't ask her permission to say this. A Monday night prayer group that meets every other week, and they're meeting tomorrow night here or there. Monday night prayer group, praying for the world around us, the lost. A music concert that Andrew Freeman will be continuing to reach out with. Our school. Our school is the biggest mission that we have. In fact, it's so big that in about 6 weeks, we need to find $360,000 to pay for the bonds that are coming due. Most of you got a letter about that. Pray into that, but not just the money. There's something else. Our school is open to our church, other churches, and non-Christians. We need to do more in building relationships with the non-Christians that send their children to our school. I'd love to see a network group that thinks about how to do that and thinks about our school assemblies. Jeff Dresselhaus, idea he wants to do someday, but you can beat him to it. Some kind of a practical work group. Bunch of guys that get together and swing hammers and take care of needs among us and also ones that you hear about in the neighborhood. Bringing your neighbors to your home for dinner, like the Sands are trying to do once a month. One group that's not started, which someday I'd love to see started, is a civic issues group that speaks into our city. And I've been involved in that, as you know. I'd love to see a group that networks around that. Join a network group. Start a network group. Talk to Charlie Whitley about how to get involved with a network group. If there isn't one, don't moan about there's no group to join. Ask God, what would I be involved in? Tell Charlie. It'll get announced. 5 people will join you. Do it for 12 weeks and see if it works. If it falls dead and you're tired of it, well, quit. But at least have a go. How many years have we been sitting around waiting for it, right? Try it. All right. And if you're not a member, well, there aren't any members, all right? We're going to change that. Don't worry. A personal pastor or a mentor. This is huge. In order for what God wants to do among us, we really need to see every single member linked up in a relationship with someone who encourages you, envisions you, walks with you through the things of life, teaches you God's word, connects you to the team of elders. That doesn't mean you have to be linked to an elder. But really, the reason there isn't a formal membership, or hasn't been for years, is we realize that it's so easy to fall into the trap of just, oh, I signed my name on the line, I'm a member. But there's no relationship. Who cares? The point is, God has given us a congregation. He's asked some people to lead it. They're called elders. And if you want to know what's going on, you've got to find a way to be connected to them. I mean that. We want to be a church that has relationship, where every single one of us is hooked into a mentoring kind of relationship. And if you're married, I need to say this. We do believe, in our context, it comes through the husband, who is the head of the home, the head of the family. So if you're married, you need to connect to somebody. And if you're a wife, and your husband's not connected, you have this wonderful privilege of saying, hey, honey, who's speaking into your life right now? I'd like to know, because I need to talk to him about something. Cancel that second part. Delete that from the tape. My pastor is Ron McLean. I call Ron McLean. We pray about things together. I ask his advice. He knows about Gareth. We talked that one through before it came here. Each of us needs that. And the other thing that is so important is that we need to understand how this church works and how it doesn't. Because many of us have come from other churches at some point in our lives, and we make these assumptions that every church is like what I grew up with. And they're not. And then we have false expectations, and we get hurt, and we get injured because, well, that pastor guy didn't look after me. I do lead the elders here. I love that role. But it's because I know that I'll never be able to look after every situation that we try to hook people up with others who aren't me. And that's how we care for people. And we continually say a personal pastor type of relationship really is how we care for each other. That's important. Otherwise, things will fall through the cracks. You might remember a Sunday morning when Gareth shared something in the beginning of that situation, and I went to Marius and Esther and asked if they would meet with them. I don't know if we did that publicly. I think we did. That began, and they were willing, until the other couple said no. There's hurtful things around that, because there's misunderstanding that the elders dropped the ball. Dave dropped the ball. Forget it. It's because I love you so much. And I know that I'm meeting with Mike and Ida about marriage and with Matt and Julie about marriage that I don't have time for another meeting. It's going to fall through the cracks. I love you. Would you please see this couple, Esther and Marius? Because I know they love you. That's how we do things. It's different. It's not wrong to do it other ways. We spent 3 months on our sabbatical in a Baptist church that doesn't do things that way. Some churches hire a counselor, and he's the person you go and check in with during office hours, not in the evening. Take time off work. Other churches refer you to a counselor, pay $300 an hour on their schedule. We don't do it that way, okay? It's not bad the other way, but you need to know how it is here. Or you'll get lost in the shuffle and think, what's going on? All right. That's the review. <laughs> 2008. And this will not be long either. Don't you worry. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God is calling me personally into a closer drawing of his presence. It's been coming for months. And I have longings in my heart that are precious. And I'm excited about what God has ahead. I've felt this draw at other times in my life. That's what brought me to Vancouver 10 years ago. A time in January, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I said, God, I can't keep being a youth leader and a factory foreman and working 50 hours in the factory and 30 in the church because I've got a new baby now. Her name's Katrina. I can't do both anymore. And I'm happy either place, but where is it? I'll spend the rest of my life in the factory or the rest of my life in your congregation. I don't care. I want to serve you. I said, God, I'm going to fast and pray until you talk to me. 22 days later, God met me. And I went into my boss's office and I said, you better hire a new foreman. I won't be here anymore. And a few months later, the phone rang. And my pastor said, Barney Coombs wonders if you'd go to Vancouver. Those were longings in my heart. And there were other times in my life like that. I remember the time when I was 17 years old. And my dad convinced me to do a devotional called the 50-Day Adventure. I had to read the book of John. A few weeks into it, I got to John chapter 10. I'm a slow reader. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. And they listen to me. And they run from a stranger's voice because they don't recognize it. And I was sitting late at night on the edge of my bed reading John chapter 10. And I got angry at God. God, I don't hear your voice. I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 9 years old. I was baptized when I was 14 because my dad thought I was old enough. Why don't you talk to me? This says your sheep hear your voice. And that night God spoke to me. And he said, you have been asking for my input on the direction of your life. Like every 17 and 18 year old does when everybody in church is asking you if you're going to university next year. And where, and what you're going to do, and what your career is going to be. All these things. I had this list of things, and I said, God, what do you think about this? What about this? What about this? And God didn't talk to me. And that night, God said, when you throw away your list, and you commit yourself to obeying whatever's on my list, regardless if you can see it or not, then I'll start talking to you. When you decide to follow me, where I lead you, and I'm not telling you where we're going. You know, there's a longing that happened in my heart in that moment where suddenly God's presence was in my room and nothing else mattered. And I took everything on my list and I said, God, my girlfriend can go. That was Tina. If you want me to be a monk and live single the rest of my life, I will. My career choices can go. If I have to live in a straw hut in Africa somewhere. I'm glad my brother got it, not me. I will. And down the list I went with everything in a priority in my life. My car, my truck, my job, my friends, my future. And I started this incredible adventure. Because there was a presence in my room. That somehow his presence made everything else disappear. It didn't matter anymore. I wanted to know him. I wanted to hear his voice. And I didn't care about anything else until he talks to me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And God is calling us to prayer in 2008. Not prayer in some religious, I got to do these 10 things. We're all going to get on this schedule. Not that. God is drawing us. He wants us to be where He is. He wants you to experience His presence. He's calling us to seek Him, to know Him, to desire Him, to be set apart, consecrated for Him alone. To separate ourselves from all that is calling us away from His presence. The God of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, the pure, the Holy One, the Lord of Lords says, West Coast Christian Fellowship, would you draw near to me? And I'll draw near to you. He loves us. He wants us in His presence. Forget about yesterday. It's a new day. When's the last time that you experienced His presence? When's the last time that you felt that presence in your room? That you experienced His glory in your heart? When's the last time that you felt Him touch you, walk with you, and you walk through your job or your school feeling the pleasure of God upon you, knowing that He was saying, well done, my son? When's the last time that you walked that freely of knowing that in your home, in your family, as you related to your spouse, it is well with my soul? God wants this for us. Can I have a Kleenex? Thanks. The last couple of months, as the Lord's been drawing me this way, I knew that I was going to share with you this Sunday about it's time to seek the Lord. And of course, the question comes, for what? We as a church are going to gather together and seek the Lord. For what? What's the purpose? What's the answer we're looking for? What is it that we need? What's the goal? But what the Lord showed me is that it's like when a friend says, hey, Leonard, you want to have coffee together Tuesday? Sure, let's get together. Do you go for coffee thinking, what's the goal of this meeting? What's the outcome? How can I measure success? When your spouse says, let's have a date. When dad says, hey, I want all the kids home. Come on, you guys, Tuesday night, we're all home. Let's just hang out together. Okay, what's the purpose, dad? What are we going to measure at the end of this hangout time? It's family. Jesus in John chapter 17 prayed for us, and He revealed this incredible picture of He and the Father are like this. Oh, Father, let Your people be like this with us. Let them be in us and us be in them. He wants us near His heart. He wants us with Him. And the point is not an answer for 360,000. The point is not so that 600 people come to the Lord. The point is, He wants us with Him. He wants to draw us to Himself. I want to show you a little calendar of what's coming in our church schedule. Next weekend, the elders are going to go away. We're going to Camp Capilano. There we go. Kathy, I don't know how you do this overhead. You're a lot better at it than I am. There we go. Margaret Enns is going to speak next Sunday. Derek's going to lead the service. Pray for us. We want to hear God. We're getting together next weekend on Friday night with the advisory elders as well. Arnold and Fred and John and their wives are going to join us. But we're going with our wives and our children. A number of our children are young adults. And we're going to, as families, say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're coming as elders to our families saying, would you join us in what God's speaking in our hearts about seeking Him. And then a few weeks later, February 8 to 10, there's going to be a men's retreat. We would really like all the men to be there. And at that point, we're going to come to the heads of families saying, would you join us in seeking the Lord? And would you spend the next 3 weeks talking with your children and your spouses about seeking the Lord together as a church? Are you with us? Would you join us? And then we're going to begin a time in March where as a church we have 40 days, specifically 40 days of, Lord, we want to seek your face. We're going to, in a new way, disengage from the busyness of life and give ourselves to His presence. And during that 40 days, there'll be a book that we'll go through together that will help us have some kind of family devotions for those of you that have children. Hopefully we'll have some journal entries. We'll have some encouragements along the way to guide us and encourage us to seek His face. And at the end of the 40 days, we will be joined by Steve Thomas, Ron McLean, and Mary. We were hoping that both Steve and Ron's wives could come, but it looks like Lorraine can't make it. And we'll have a weekend, Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday, celebration with the apostolic team. What are we going to have happen? What's God going to do? Doesn't matter. Just want to sit with Him. Just want to be around Him a little bit. Just want to know Him. And it'd be really wonderful to be there as a people. Shall we stand together? The worship team wants to come. You remember that old song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Let's just sing that a cappella. And then I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer in an expanded version from my heart. And after that, as the worship team prays, we just want to open it up for you to pray. Just pray out with what your response is to God in 2008. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for Him, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear. Come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is that You would call us Your children. You are our Father, not an earthly Father that falls short, not an earthly Father that gives us a little bit of a glimpse, but You are the pure, holy, heavenly Father. Hallowed be Your name. May Your name be lifted up. May Your name always be set apart among us. May Your name never be taken in vain among Your people. Lord, we speak Your name. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There is nothing too difficult for you. You sit enthroned on high. You have invited us to sit at the right hand with Jesus in Christ. What a privilege to be called your people. Father in heaven, may your kingdom come. Lord, would you bring your ruler and reigning and lordship into my thought life? Oh God, rule over my tongue, my absent-minded ways. Don't leave me to my own devices. Father, would you come and govern my life? Would you come and govern my family? Would you help my children and my wife? Bless them and bring your rulership. Lord, there's no way that I, as a father of my home, can look after every detail, but you can work in our conscience. You can bring kingship, rulership, lordship into the conscience of my children, myself, and Tina. Would you do this, Lord? Would you come and bring your kingdom into our church, into our eldership, our life as a community? Lord, rule over us. Govern over us. We're a bunch of people from all over the place, all made in your image, but all with different experiences. We misunderstand each other, Lord. We don't always get it how each other thinks. But Lord, you have the ability to catch us up in Christ, to be the head, and let one be the hand, and one be the foot, and one be the elbow, and each of us be different, but caught up in your purpose. Would you harmonize us and make us work together? Give us the strength to bear with one another. Bring your kingdom to rule and reign in our midst. And let your will be done. Not our will, Lord, but let your will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Father, you know about the money the school needs. Let your will be done. Either pay for it or redirect us to what your will is. Father, we are your people. It's not about our will. It's not about our mission. It's not about our school. Either it's yours or we don't want it. Either go with us or we don't want to go. Yes. But Lord, let your will be done in our midst. You've been speaking to us about the fields being white unto harvest. You've been speaking to us about joining together and working together, not being just individuals, but networking together to see the harvest won. Lord, what does that look like? Would you do that among us? Let your will be done here in our lives, even as it is in heaven. And Father, give us our daily bread. Lord, we don't even know what that means. We think about future and retirement plans, credit cards, loans. We're a nation that has found ways to insulate ourselves from chance, to insulate ourselves from what could happen. We ask, Lord, that you would give us manna for each day. Not only the finances, Lord, but of your Spirit. Father, we're a people that think maybe we can go away to school and once and for all be endowed with all knowledge. But would you speak your word each day into our lives? Give us your daily bread. Let us not be like the people of Israel who grew tired of the manna and turned up their nose and said it's the same old stuff. Father, your word is sweet like honey. Give us a love for your word. Where we've grown stale, where we've grown cold, change us. We want your daily bread. We don't want to turn up our nose. We say your word is life to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. May that message never grow stale. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may that message never grow stale. In the beginning you created, may that word always have life. And Father, forgive us. Forgive us our debts, our shortcoming, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lord, look at how we treat others. And in the same way that we forgive those around us, would you be gracious to us? Lord, we recognize that the sins against us are so small compared to our rebellion against you. The sins that people do to us, the places that they disappoint us and fall short in our lives, are so minute compared to my rebellion against you. And the days that I don't seek you, the days that I don't appreciate your manna, the days that I don't care about your will be done because I'm thinking about my future for the next 20 years. Oh God, forgive me. Forgive us, Lord. And lead us not into temptation. Father, lead us not into temptation. You direct our path. You know what we can handle and what we cannot. And you promised us that you would never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, that you would provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. Father, we are surrounded by evil. Every moment of our day, temptation is lurking. The billboards, the magazines, the internet that we can click on are all around us. The message of the world is bombarding us. Lord, we live in a heathen land. We live where there's a famine of your word. We live where what is detestable is praised and paraded in our streets. God, help us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, Lord, that the enemy is seeking who he can devour. You know, Lord, that our marriages are under attack, that how we parent is under attack, that where we put our time and energy is under attack. Father, protect us. We're just humans, but you've given us the privilege of being caught up in Jesus, that we might live in Christ. Let us really live, Lord. Let us really live in Christ, away from this world and yet in this world. Oh, Father, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the power forever. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and pray out.